This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdihi wa nasta'gfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna sayyidana wa habibana muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما I first just want to apologize for starting a few minutes late. I flew in this morning from Dallas, and part of my fatigue and in the travel, I got delayed, so I apologize to you for that, and I thank you for your patience. I just want to share with you some thoughts about the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not so much the Hajj, the khutbah al-wada', the famous khutbah the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave on the day of Arafah, but rather the journey itself. The journey the Prophet ﷺ took with the Sahaba itself, and some of just one theme from many things we can glean from this aspect of the seerah of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ that I think sometimes gets overlooked. The first thing I want to share with you is actually preceding Hajj in the sixth year after Hijrah. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ set out with the companions with the intention of performing Umrah. They have left Mecca 6 years ago. They haven't seen the house of Allah. They haven't been to the house of Allah. They haven't prayed at the house of Allah. Their hearts longed for the house of Allah. Those of you who've gone to Hajj before, you know that feeling of just going through these waves of emotion, especially during Hajj season where you want to go to see the Kaaba again. So the Messenger of Allah and the Sahaba set out to perform Umrah, and a long story short, they were prevented from doing so. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed, and as part of the conditions of this treaty was that the Muslims should return the next year, the seventh year after Hijrah, and to perform Umrah. Now when the Messenger of Allah ﷺ went the next year, and they reached the Haram, he commanded those that were with him after 2 weeks of travel in the desert, now they get to the Kaaba, you can imagine the fatigue that they had. He tells the companions, he says, "Urmunu liyara al-mushrikuna quwwatakum." He commands them to make ramal around the Kaaba. Ramal is when you don't just walk during your tawaf, but rather you jog, or you almost like a not running, but a slower than running, but like a strong jog around the Kaaba. And he says, the reason why I want you to do so is so that the disbelievers will see your strength. Even after this long travel, you have the strength to do so. Now, Ibn Abbas, he narrates in Bukhari that when the Messenger of Allah and his companions came to Mecca, the mushrikun had circulated this news amongst themselves that the Muslims were continuing to be weakened by the diseases of Medina. And although they were in the Haram, next to the house of Allah, within those boundaries of the Haram, there is no fighting, there is no carrying of weapons, and all these special rules apply, the thought had entered their minds that maybe this is our chance. They've come unarmed, they've come for ibadah, and if they're weakened by the travel and by Medina and whatnot, we can take them out. And so the Messenger of Allah commanded the Sahaba to do the ramal, to run around the Kaaba to show the mushrikun that they actually still are strong. Now what does this have to do with Hajj? Well, those of you who have been to Hajj before, you know that even when you and I go for Hajj now, we start our tawaf al-qudum, our initial tawaf around the house of Allah, with the ramal, with running, with jogging the first three circuits. And even if you can't jog because of the crowds, or because you're with your elderly parents or your wife or your daughter or the like, you at least make the movements of your jogging
so as to show your strength. When the Prophet ﷺ performed Hajj in the 10th year after Hijrah, a few months before he passed away, there was no fear upon the believers anymore. Fatah Mecca had already occurred. Yet the rule stayed that, O believers, when you come to perform Hajj, you will do this Ramal of the Tawaf. And it's a continued tradition to connect the Sahaba then and us now to a time when the Ummah was in a weaker state, before the victory had come, and what they went through and the struggles they went through and the principles they stood by that allowed them to get the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fast forward after the Tawaf, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he proceeded to perform the Sa'i. And when you perform the Sa'i, you go between Safa and Marwa 7 times. And the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he would stand on Safa and he would say this dua, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater, Allah is greater, Allah is greater. And he would say this 3 times. And then he would say, La ilaha illallah. There is absolutely no one worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wahdahu la sharika lah. He is one and he has no partners. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd. To him belongs all the praise, all the kingdom and the praise. Yuhyi wa yumit. He gives life and he gives death. Wahuwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And he has power over all things. And then he goes on to say, La ilaha illallah wahda. There is absolutely no one worthy of worship but Allah. He is one. Anjaza wa'da. He fulfilled his promise. Wa nasara abda. And he gave victory to his slave. Wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. And he destroyed the confederates. Now interesting, understand the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah is he would stand on Safa and stand on Marwa and say this dua 3 times, each time looking at the Kaaba. And then he would make dua after each one. But can you imagine what's going through his mind as he's there in Hajj, looking at the Kaaba with the idols now removed, with 100,000 plus companions with him, all saying the talbiyah, all making dhikr of Allah, all establishing the religion of Allah. And what's he saying? La ilaha illallah wahda. Anjaza wa'da. He fulfilled his promise. Just a few years ago, in the shadow of the same Kaaba, the companions were tortured. Maybe he's, as he's saying Allah has fulfilled his promise, he's remembering the memories of Ibn Mas'ud standing in front of the disbelievers, or Abu Bakr al-An, who's standing in front of disbelievers and giving da'wah, reciting the Quran, and being punished to a point that their face, they couldn't tell the nose from the rest of the face. Anjaza wa'da. He fulfilled his promise. Wa nasara abda, and he gave victory to his slave. Wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. And again, you and I, when we perform Umrah or Hajj, and we go in the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and we say these things, we should try and put our mind, we should try and put ourselves in the shoes of the Prophet ﷺ, to see what he saw and try and feel what he felt. And then you move on in the journey of the Hajj, and you fast forward to the last day on the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. On the 13th night, and the night precedes the day, the last day of Dhul Hijjah, the last day of Hajj, the Hujjaj, all they have to do is stone the Jamarat and they leave. But in the night before that day, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna naziluna ghadan fi khayfi bani Kinana." Tomorrow, after we stone and we leave the Mina, we are going to go to an area where Banu Kinana resided. Now, why is this interesting? Zayd Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he was once told by someone that I performed Hajj. And Hasan al-Basri, he asked him, you know, when you did the Safa and Marwa, did you think of your mother Hajar alayhi salam? And the struggles she went through and trying to, in her desperation to look for food for Ismail? He said, no, I didn't remember that. When he stoned the Jamarat, did you think of the challenge Ibrahim alayhi salam faced and being commanded to slaughter his own son? He said, no, I didn't think that. And he asked him, when you were in Mina, did you remember the boycott that was placed upon the Muslims in the early days in Mecca? And he said, no, I didn't think about that. And then he said, you haven't performed Hajj. But But why did he ask this last question? Because Banu Kinana, the area where Banu Kinana lived, is the area where the Quraysh had signed, agreed to, committed to this boycott against the Muslims. That for 3 years, no business interaction, no social interaction, no weddings to Muslims. Not just the Muslims, by the way. Even the non-Muslims who were with them, Abu Talib himself being the leader of the tribe. And other non-Muslims were also boycotted there. To the point that the narrations say they were eating the leaves from the trees to survive. And at the culmination of this boycott and its severity, Khadija radiallahu anha, the beloved of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of all of his children save one, passed away. And Abu Talib, his father figure from the age of 8 up until that point in the seerah, 40 years, he was a father figure to the Messenger of Allah. He also passed away. As a direct result of the severity of this boycott. But this boycott was agreed to and was signed upon in the area where Banu Kinana lived. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says on the 13th night before the day when they would stone the Jamarat for the last time, we are going to go there. We are going to settle there. And so after stoning the Jamarat, he didn't pray Dhuhr and Asr and Mina as he did the previous days. But he went to Banu Kinana, that area, and he prayed Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. He established the religion of Allah, the Salah, in the same place that the religion of Allah was attacked by the disbelievers. And to a point, just to give you an idea, that a very minor opinion amongst the ulama have actually held that as a part of Hajj, Muslims should do the same. They've actually mentioned this in some of their opinions. Again, a very minor opinion. But just to show you the importance that the Prophet ﷺ placed on this, to go there and pray in the same place that the deen of Allah had been attacked. Now what's the lesson from all this? Why this theme that we see throughout the journey of the Hajj of the Messenger of Allah? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 26, he says, وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ أَنْتُمْ قَلِيلٌ مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَتَخَطَّفَكُمُ النَّاسُ فَآوَاكُمْ وَأَيَّدَكُمْ بِنَصْرِهِ وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ.
Allah commands us in the Qur'an to remember these days. وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ أَنْتُمْ قَلِيلٌ. Remember a time when you were very small in number. مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Oppressed in the land. Couldn't, you know, the Sahaba mentioned in Medina, they couldn't, during the Battle of Al-Ahzab, they couldn't even go to the bathroom without fearing for their lives. When the siege on Medina had reached its peak, and Allah says that your hearts even reached your throats, and the eyes were wandering in fear. مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تَخَافُونَ أَن يَتَخَطَّفَكُمُ النَّاسِ. That you fear that people might abduct you. But Allah says, فَآوَاكُمْ وَأَيَّدَكُمْ بِنَصْرِهِ وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And Allah says, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sheltered you, and He supported you, and gave you His victory, and provided you with good things. Opened the doors of His rizq to you. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you may be a people who continuously give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very keen on instilling this idea in the minds of the Sahaba, and by translating that to every generation that comes after until the end of time, that in one of the greatest pillars of Islam, the only one that is done once in your life because of the level of what difficulty it entails,
that these themes are ingrained within the journey of Hajj, so that we learn to remember also the time of the Sahaba, to connect ourselves to the Messenger of Allah and his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that to destroy a nation, you cut it from its roots. Right? How much do we know about the life of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much are we familiar with the lives of the Sahaba? And we find now a crisis of faith amongst our young generation. And one of the key things that will build that strong foundation and build that connection to the religion of Allah is to have a relationship with the Book of Allah and with the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you ask someone who's having doubts, well, when's the last time you've read the seerah of the Messenger of Allah? And they'll give you a blank stare. Because that connection to the life of the Messenger of Allah, learning from his akhlaq and his way and the miracles that he had and his living miracle of the Qur'an, reading that, connected to that, keeps anyone who's searching for the truth firm on the religion of Allah. Right? So connect ourselves, connect your families, make it a point that we'll have seerah time, we'll have story time with Sahaba every night. So after salah, after maghrib, for example, read 5 minutes from a book together as a family. It's very important for ourselves and for our next generation to come. And we also learn that the Muslims went through what they went through. And we can go on and on about the struggles and the difficulties, but they never sacrificed their principles. They didn't give up for some political points here or there. They didn't sway in the wind, whichever way the political winds blow, we'll go if it gets us some sort of favor. They didn't do that. They stayed firm on their principles, they stayed firm on their religion. They knew that what Allah gave them is better than what anything else anyone could offer. And the poor amongst them, the destitute amongst them, the oppressed amongst the society, they saw them. That's why they flocked to Islam. That's why Abu Sufyan, when he was asked by Hercules, who are the followers of this man that you're warring against? Are they the rich of the people or the poor? They said, it's the poor of the people. And he said in response, those are the followers of the prophets. Those are the followers of the prophets. Right, so they stayed firm on their principles, they didn't sacrifice, and they remained strong in the face of adversity. And we have much to learn from the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. And one final comment is that it also kept the ummah connected to one another. Connected to one another. You know, we are a minority here in America, and with all the challenges that we face, we sometimes lose sight of that we are just one part of a huge body of the ummah. And the hearts should all be connected. The La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah bonds us together like no other. And in Hajj you see so many manifestations of that, but that should live with us as well as we come back home. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عمر الخطاب رضي الله عنه, he said in a very famous statement, which I think perhaps summarizes one of the key ideas of this khutbah that I wanted to share with you today. نحن قوم أعزنا الله بالإسلام, that we are a people who Allah سبحانه وتعالى, he gave us honor from where they were to where they became, through Islam and Islam alone. And if any time we seek our honor and our dignity from other routes, from other ways, and we leave Islam on the side, Allah will forsake us, Allah will humiliate us. So it's a call, brothers and sisters, a reminder for myself and everyone else to come back to our roots, to connect ourselves to the seerah of the Messenger of Allah in the early days of the lives of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, and learn from the lessons that they left and imparted with us.
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي والذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم ارحم المسلمين والمستضعفين في كل مكان في يمن وفي صومال وفي عراق وفي أفغانستان وفي كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنهم ضعفاء فقويهم خوفا فأمنهم جياعا فأطعمهم عريا فاكسهم حفاة فاحملهم مظلومون فانصرهم محتاجون إليك يا قوي يا عزيز فأعزهم وكن معهم يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيم الصلاة.